The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, and Brother Jeb prayed in his prayer. We are thankful for the faith we have. We've been trying to consider what walking by faith and living by faith looks like, and hopefully we can make our way through the end of the chapter here in Hebrews chapter 11 this evening. Hebrews chapter 11, begin reading in verse 32. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned and sawn asunder and tempted and were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, and mountains, and dens, and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Including, in verse 32, Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and then the collective group of the prophets, there are 17 people that are specifically mentioned by name here in Hebrews chapter 11. But the majority of people, the majority of God's disciples and God's children here in this world are really just anonymous and obscure to the world.
Right.
Okay? Very few people are the kind of people that are highlighted by the Holy Spirit, not just in Scripture as a whole, but in Hebrews chapter 11. And that's how the majority of God's people live their lives. Okay? We live really as anonymous heroes of the faith. Now, not that I'm making myself a hero, but what I'm saying is there are 17 people that the Holy Spirit specifically highlighted of actions that they undertook in their life of living by faith. But that does not mean that there were not multitudes of other children of God in the Old Testament that were not just as strong in faith. Right. You know, I've tried to refer to Hebrews chapter 11 as the honor roll of faith. I know some people have deemed it the Hall of Fame of faith, but I've tried to shy away from that because that gives the indication that their faith is better than someone else.
Right.
And they have an exemplary faith. No, there are many children of God that I believe live by faith just as strongly, just as close with the Lord as any of these people that are highlighted by the Holy Spirit in Hebrews chapter 11.
Praise
but
God.
This is just who the Holy Spirit saw fit to highlight for a little bit of time. Okay? So I don't want to give the indication that these people have any type of a greater faith, because they don't. Okay? Hebrews, Romans chapter 12 and in verse 3, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Mm-hmm. Not every man without exception, but every child of God without distinction. Every child of God has the exact same degree of faith that is imparted in their heart in the new birth. Mm-hmm. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Okay? So that means that I have the same quality of faith residing in my heart that Abraham did.
Truth.
But why? Because the Holy Spirit is there. Okay? What's the difference in someone that is strong in faith and someone that is weak in faith? It's exercising that faith.
Amen.
Okay? I believe it's Philippians chapter 2. We're admonished to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You need to work out what God has worked in.
That's right.
Okay? And that's how our faith is strengthened. It's not, you know, where was that at? In the Gospels where I think it may have been right after the Lord told the apostles that they needed to forgive their debtor, forgive someone that offended them more than seven times. And they said, Lord, increase our faith. In other words, Lord, if we're going to do something so unreasonable in our nature to forgive somebody perpetually, almost unendingly, Lord, if the only way that we can do that is for you to just give us more faith. Lord, increase our faith. Well, you don't know how your faith is increased? By using the measure of faith that you have.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So there are many children of God in the Old Testament that I believe walk just as strongly in faith as these people here in Hebrews chapter 11. But this is just, you know, essentially that's what Paul's saying, right? Verse 32, what shall I say more? He says later, time would fail me to tell you about everybody that walked by faith.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
But understand, the majority of God's children here in this world are these obscure, anonymous disciples that walk by faith. And it describes the actions throughout the rest of the chapter. It describes the actions of those who walk by faith, but it's not attributing it to a specific person, to a specific name. And understand, that's how the majority of God's children live here in this world, okay? Very few people are Peter's, Paul's, Moses's, David's. Very few people are called by God to be used in that mighty way. The majority of us just live day by day.
That's right.
As obscure, anonymous disciples of Christ here in this world, to the world, okay? To the world. And by the way, if you are walking as a disciple of Christ, you're not going to be exalted in the world anyway,
yes.
Except for the fact of if you let your light shine bright enough, there's some people that are not going to like it. Because all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, okay? But for the most part, God's people are supposed to be the peacemakers, the meek, the merciful, kind, gracious, and loving. And you know what? That's not something that the world exalts.
Amen.
It's not something that the world desires to really have more of. They want the opposite of that. The world wants to incite hate. Lord knows we've seen that the last few months.
Lord.
So the majority of God's children live obscure to the world. Just living, as it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, just living quiet and peaceable lives. And all godliness and honesty, you know. Paul rebuked some people because they were being busybodies. And he said, look, just work with your own hands. Mind your own business. Live a quiet and a peaceable life. You know, I have no desire for the world to know who David Wise is.
Okay.
I really don't. I want my family and my friends and hopefully those in the church to at least have a good perception of me and to... I certainly want those that I love that walk with the Lord to believe that I'm walking by faith. But I have no desire for me to be written in a history book.
Right.
I want to live a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And by the way, there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, right where that's said, is it says, hey, you need to give, make prayers and supplications for all men, especially kings and those that are in authority. And it's right after that where he says, that you may live a quiet and a peaceable life. One of the reasons, especially right now, we need to be praying for those that are in authority is not for the Republican agenda to be advanced.
Thank you.
Okay?
Yeah.
No, the main reason that scripture says you pray for kings that are and those that are in authority is so that they will leave you alone.
Amen.
So you can live a quiet and a peaceable
Thank
life.
Thank you. Amen.
And by the way, that's why we need to be praying for that so much right now.
Yes, amen. Sir.
because you need to be watchful, you need to be vigilant, and don't get too, you know, torn up about all the news, but you need to be aware of what's going on. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of people that are trying to prevent the liberties and the freedom that we've had in this country for a long time to live a quiet and a peaceable life.
That's right.
And to serve God and worship according to the dictates of our conscience and according to the Word of God. But we don't pray for governmental leaders just for the sole fact that my ideological beliefs will be advanced in politics. Now, let me say this. If you read the Bible and there's a Bible believer, there are principles in the Word of God that should dictate the decisions you make in the voting booth.
Yes.
Okay? And it's not based on the letter that you have after your name. It's based upon what that person stands for.
Right.
And if they stand for things that are opposing to the Word of God, then you do not vote for that person. I'll just make it that clear. Okay? Because the more you vote for people that are opposing to the Word of God, I guarantee you, it will prevent your ability to live a quiet and peaceable
Amen.
Life in all godliness and honesty. Okay? And we need to be especially praying for that. But what I'm saying is, our goal is not to be well known in the world. You know, that's what, I live that life too, you know? I wanted to be an NBA player. You know, I want to be the next Larry Bird, right? I wanted people to know who I was back when I was 15 or 16. I have no desire for people to know who I am now. None. I just want to serve God in the measure that I've been given. You know, I believe there is a measure that I've been given in the ministry. There is a measure that I've been given in my personal life with my friends and my family. And I have really no desire. I'm very content to serve God according to my measure.
Yes.
According to what God has given me right now. And for the most part, outside of hopefully those people that I interact with and those people that love me, I hope that they'll cry when I die. You know, I hope I've at least had enough of a positive influence on people that someone will miss me. But I know that when David Wise dies, it's not going to be breaking news on the television. And I'm very happy about that. I'm very happy about that. So when we go through these actions of faith that is described here, I want you to understand that these are not attributed to specific people, because these are just the anonymous heroes of faith that Paul didn't have time to tell you all about. Okay? These are regular people like me and you, living regular lives, walking by faith and serving God. And you know what? The Holy Spirit didn't zone in on them to give you their name, but guess what? Their name doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's what I want you to understand. The name doesn't matter. Verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. And I'm not even going to try to give you all. There's many specific examples. I'll highlight a couple of them, but there's many specific examples in the Old Testament that I believe these might be referring to, but these describe so many of God's children that are not even in Scripture. I think that's the point, is that many people walk by faith and serve God so diligently in the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit didn't inspire to give you an account of their life. You know, we're going to talk about verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. It's interesting, two accounts where we see that in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings 17 with Elijah, and then 2 Kings chapter 4 with Elisha. Both of them says there was a widow. You are never given the name of either
right.
one of those widows.
Amen.
Why? Because she was just a regular widow, serving God, walking by faith. And again, we don't have time to highlight each specific example, but I can't tell you how many people there are that are just godly widows indeed.
Amen.
Right? Godly brothers and godly Amen. Sisters, and the Holy Spirit doesn't have to give you their name. And I think those are such important examples, especially that widow who was willing to give up her and her sons. You don't have her son's name either. They give up her last meal to serve God. But you know what? There are tons of people like that.
Yes.
There's tons of people like that everywhere. The salt and light of this world. People just like me and just like you that are living by faith and walking by faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. And I want to highlight just one of them very quickly. Don't turn here, but just listen to the language in Daniel chapter 6. You know the story of Daniel when he was thrown in the lion's den and the Lord saved him and protected him from the mouth of those lions. But notice this language in Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no matter of hurt was found upon him. Notice this. Because he believed in his God.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't his belief that saved him from those lions, but he believed in a God that could save him from those lions. That's what faith is all about. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about, is believing in what you cannot see. And I guarantee you, he couldn't see any angels there, but I guarantee you there were some angels there that were protecting Daniel in that lion's den. And he believed in the God that could dispatch those angels to protect him in his time of need. It's very interesting that that literally says, because. Now, does that mean that if he didn't believe, and if he didn't have faith, he would have got ate up? Well, I don't know. I think the Lord probably still would have blessed him because he lived a very godly life. But it says he was delivered because he lived by faith, because he believed in his God. Quench the violence of fire, verse 34, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And I'm just going to have to skip over these and not highlight a couple of examples for time's sake. Women received their dead raised to life again. Again, those godly widows, those obscure, anonymous widows who served God faithfully, and in both of their instances, their sons ended up passing away at a later date. And the Lord sent a prophet to revive them. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now, this is primarily talking about Old Testament saints, okay? But you could project this out to all of God's children throughout all time.
Right.
As we read these next few verses, I really want it to sink in how blessed we are in our time, in our country, and with the liberties that we have been given, I believe, by God's providence and God's grace in America. Because I want to tell you, this is the natural disposition of the world against God's people.
Right.
And if you want to be grateful for what God has protected us from, go read Fox's Book of Martyrs sometime.
Sir.
You need to read that. You need to realize just how much we have been blessed in our time to have First Amendment protections of the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech. And I'll tell you, they are deteriorating right before our eyes.
Yes, sir.
And I think we're regressing back to the mean. Okay, and this is the mean. This is the way that the world treats God's people normally. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. We'll come back to that. Others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. Sawn asunder. People were cut in half. Sawn asunder. Tempted. Slain with the sword. They walked and wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. We'll come back to that parenthetical statement in just a minute as well. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. It almost sounds like that this world was not their home.
Right.
It almost sounds like the perspective that Abraham had, where he was a pilgrim and a stranger. He confessed that he was a pilgrim and a stranger, and he set his sight on progressing toward, just like the allegory that John Bunyan wrote of Pilgrim's Progress, as the man named Christian was on his way to the celestial city. He set his mind, and verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. The world was not worthy of them. That's the parenthetical statement in verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. And look at the way the world treated these people. This world was not worthy of them. And look how the world treated them.
Right.
Backing up to verse 35. That they may obtain a better resurrection. Now that certainly didn't mean that people that have endured this type of suffering in their life, or that had given up their life and were physically slain for the testimony of Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean that they're going to have a higher ranking at the resurrection of the dead, a better enjoyment of heaven. But when you live by faith here in this world, they were tortured, but they didn't accept deliverance.
Right.
In other words, I will not. When they say, we will burn you at the stake unless you recant your belief in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, there is a special communion that God's people have with the Son of God in the midst of severe
Amen.
Suffering. Go read Acts chapter 7.
Amen.
See the way that the Lord literally stood up for Stephen, as Stephen was standing up for the truth of Jesus Christ. Stephen was standing up for Christ, and Christ stood up for Stephen.
Yes, sir.
To welcome him into heaven. And, you know, was it Polycarp, Brother Joe? Or maybe it was one of those other early church fathers. There are examples of men that were tried to be killed, tried to be burned, tried to be boiled to death, and you know what? They just couldn't kill them. They kept trying to burn them, and all of a sudden they just kept, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, we skip verse 34. Quench the violence of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, look, we don't know what's going to happen. I know we aren't going to bow down and watch this and worship this graven image, but we don't know what's going to happen. But we know our God is able regardless of the outcome.
Christians,
and we're going to be delivered anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Christian tradition said they tried to boil the Apostle John alive.
The Apostle John?
Yeah.
And there are many examples of that. And you know what? When you faithfully endure that, there is a deliverance that you have even by death, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we see that especially in the account of Stephen as he was being stoned, that they may obtain a better resurrection. I tell you, I feel so guilty many times of how soft of a life that I've had to live.
Yes, amen. Because
I'll tell you, I read what the Apostle Paul suffered for the kingdom of God. I read what those Old Testament prophets suffered by simply saying, thus saith the Lord, to God's people, no less, in that time. We've not had to see firsthand in front of our eyes these types of sufferings that we see God's anonymous heroes of faith that they endured. But when and if those come in our life, we endure those the exact same way, by faith.
Amen.
By faith, by a confidence and trust in a God that's able to deliver them. You know, they stop the mouth of lions. Does that little bitty lad, little bitty shepherd boy David, does he really have any chance against that ferocious lion?
Mm.
No. But you know what? He had faith in a God that could give him the ability to conquer that, right? Do you have any ability to stop the physical reactions of the combustion of that fire when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in there? They had no ability to save themselves from that, but they believed in a God who could. Okay? Of whom this world was not worthy. You know, when we live by faith, we're told that we need to set our affection on things above and not on things beneath. And it changes when you live by faith and you look at this world from an eternal heavenly perspective instead of a horizontal, natural perspective. That's what Abraham did. I know it's been a while since it's been a good bit of time in Hebrews chapter 11, so you may not remember some of the specifics of Abraham, but he set his affection, he set his spiritual mind on something other than this world. He set his spiritual mind on a city that had permanent foundations, not on this tent that I'm living in, this tabernacle I'm living in right now. He set his affection on things above and the permanent city of heaven that I will be in as I live by faith and walk by faith, but I'm going to be there by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, okay? But Abraham lived by faith with somewhat of a loose grip on the things of this world. Now, that doesn't mean that you act foolishly. It doesn't mean that you put yourself in harm's way. But don't get too attached to the things of this world. Lay up your treasures in the eternal kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, because they're not going to fade away, okay? Live with an eternal perspective.
Amen.
You know, I heard Sister Ruth say this so many times, you know, oh, they're so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the one thing that I disagree with Sister Ruth about. It's because I believe the more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good
you can be. Amen.
When you set your affection on things above and you're living by faith and you have your mind not on, oh, boy, is this not so important for us during this just chaotic period that we're living in? If you have your minds and your eyes solely fixed on all the chaos that's going on around you, you're going to be all tied up in knots and you're not going to have any temporal salvation, and we believe in time salvation. You're not going to have any of it. If you're... have your minds upon that, but when you lift your gaze to that celestial city, when you lift your gaze by faith to look on, you know what? I think about the apostles that gave up a lot to serve Jesus Christ and to follow him. You know, he told them in his last sermon, I'm going to prepare mansions for you. Now, these are men that probably weren't that well off anyway, but these are men that had pretty much chosen. Matthew chapter 10 says you go into a city and you don't really know what you're going to receive, and you know, people are going to give you just what you need and that's it. That's how they'd lived for 3.5 years. They had given up any natural home that they had. What he's saying is, what I have for you in heaven is so much better than what you have here on this earth. You may live in a shack. You may live in a van down by the river here on this earth. But you know what? You're going to have a mansion in heaven.
Yeah.
That word mansion just simply means a dwelling place. But the connotation there is your dwelling place eternally is going to be so much better.
Amen.
Than what you have naturally. Okay? I think this world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves. It's almost like they couldn't find what they were looking for. They just wandered around. Well, guess what? That's what pilgrims and strangers do, right? Pilgrims and strangers just wander around because they don't have anywhere to... We need to have the mindset of Jesus Christ, right? He said, foxes have holes, the birds there have nests. I don't have anywhere to lay my head. Now, I hope you have a soft pillow to lay your head on. By the way, if you do, you need to praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
If you have comfortable temperature conditions to sleep in, you need to praise the Lord for that. Because I guarantee you, none of these people in the Old Testament had that, right?
Right.
None of them. But we can enjoy the blessings of this world. We can enjoy God's providential provision in our life, but we really need to live with setting our affection on our eternal home instead of just the things of this world, okay? And they wandered around in deserts and mountains and tents. They lived, our body's a tabernacle, right? It's just a tent. This body's, well, we're going to be resurrected in a new body that's conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. But this body as it is right now is just a tabernacle.
Yes,
it's also called a temple, and a temple's more permanent. But a tabernacle means it's just a little bitty tent that's put up for a little bit of time. And that's all our bodies are. Now, this body is going to be made a lot more permanent at the resurrection of Jesus Christ because we're going to be raised in the image of Jesus Christ. But all these Old Testament saints who endured all this suffering, he says in verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Faith is all about a belief in the promise of God. Now, I want you to think about this faith that the Old Testament saints had, not knowing what we know today, being able to look back with what Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross, having the full canon of Scripture to not just examine their life, but examine everything that we have in the New Testament. But he said, they lived by faith, they walked by faith, they had a better resurrection, the world was not worthy of them. Look at these godly, not only the people that are specifically highlighted, but these godly anonymous heroes of faith. And do you realize that you have it better than them today?
Yes, sir.
In a jillion different ways. But notice Abraham, John chapter 8. And in verse 56, we don't have time to get the whole context, but Jesus simply said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, I believe he had specific personal communion with Jesus Christ, I believe, on the plains of Mamre when the Lord came into his tent.
Right.
And he communed with him. But I believe there was also a very special vision of faith, if you'll let me put it like that, that Abraham had in Genesis chapter 2 on Mount Moriah.
Yes.
When he was about to offer his only son, his only begotten son, if you'll let me put it like that, and he saw a ram in the thicket and he offered the ram instead. You want to know what Abraham saw when that was happening? I believe he didn't understand all of it.
Right.
He was seeing through a glass darkly. He was seeing shadows. He was seeing images, but he wasn't able to see clearly like we can see it. We can look back and see it clearly. But he was seeing through a glass darkly. You know what he saw? He saw thousands of years later a sinless lamb that would be offered on that same mount.
Yes.
That same Mount Moriah. And you want to know how he saw that? He saw it by faith. And you know what? In a way, he saw Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That day on Mount Moriah. And what an amazing experience that must have been for Abraham.
Yes, sir.
And do you realize Scripture attests that you have it even better than him?
Amen.
Today. For a multitude of different reasons. Verse 40. God, having provided some better thing for us. You know, the book of Hebrews is all about better.
Yes, sir.
He's writing to some Jews that are being tempted to go back to the old law service and go back under the bondage of the law. And he's saying, look, everything we have in the New Testament kingdom is better than anything they had in the Old Testament, better than anything that they had in the law. Why in the world would you want to go back and put yourself back under that bondage? Everything we have in Jesus Christ and in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of heaven is better. Everything.
Amen.
And you read Hebrews chapter 11 and look at the amazing way. You know, Noah, he walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Abraham saw Jesus' day. It says that Moses, he suffered the reproach of Christ. He was fellowshipping with Christ.
That's right.
As he was suffering reproach with the people of God. And you see the way that they walked with Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And then the Holy Spirit tells you, God has something even better for us. Isn't that amazing? He's provided an even better thing for us. Abraham could look forward with a hope and an expectation of what hopefully would ultimately occur with that lamb. Instead, we can look back not only through the testimony of Scripture, but also through the testimony of the Holy Spirit in your heart.
Amen.
To say that Jesus Christ, that Lamb, was offered to take away the sin of the world, and the sacrifice and the salvation that is necessary to save God's people, it is done, complete, and finished.
Yes, sir.
Do you realize that's way better information than all of them? And I think about Job, right? Think of, read Job and the inner struggle that he had. He was a contemporary of Abraham.
Right.
Okay? He was a contemporary of Abraham. He said, I know it's all the truth. I know it deep down in my soul, but my head don't understand it.
Right.
I know it in my soul that man can be just with God, but how can it be? How can a clean thing come out of an unclean thing? How is it that a vile, wicked sinner like me can be declared just and holy and righteous before a holy God? You know, Job struggled with that. But we have the answer to that.
Amen.
Don't we?
Yes, sir, we do.
And what's the answer? In the next chapter, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of what? Of your faith. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about, right? Faith. The author and the finisher of your faith. God has given us a kingdom that is so much better than that Old Testament kingdom in Jerusalem.
Amen.
Right? He's given us a community of believers. But I'll tell you, maybe more than anything, He's given us the gospel.
Yes, sir.
To understand what Christ has done for us. Because I'll tell you, that undergirds. You want to talk about being tortured and not accepting deliverance? They did it without the knowledge of the gospel. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
They did it without the scriptures. If I ever reach that point, I hopefully know enough scripture that I can be revolving in my mind scriptures that give me encouragement and strength
right.
to say that the sufferings of this world, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. I can say that the sufferings of this world are but a light affliction compared to the eternal weight of glory. I have so many scriptures that I can hopefully bring to my mind to encourage me in the midst of that. They didn't have that.
Wow.
Now, they still had the testimony of the Holy Spirit in their
yes.
heart. But we have the gospel. We have the Word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
That we can rely upon during these times of suffering, when you're wandering about, not knowing the route that you need to take. You know, following the will of God's hard. I'll tell you,
Amen.
It's difficult. I felt like I've wandered around a whole lot of times. But do you understand? Do you have it? If you're wandering around, you still have it better than Abraham when he was wandering around.
Amen.
Do you understand that?
Amen.
We just have it so much better today. We have it so much better in the kingdom of God. And you're not going to experience the fullness of those blessings that you have unless you walk by faith.
The truth. Amen.
Okay? Unless you trust in a God that you can't see. You know, it's not up to us to walk by sight. It's up to us to walk by faith, trusting the Lord that He will provide for us at every single step of the way.
Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.